A trip to the mall ain't what it used to be. After a tough period for retail, we lost more than a few malls around the country, the sector is now in a place of strength, redefined by new approaches to things like tenant selection, experience, and technology. On this episode, two interesting points of view on retail, one who spent more than four decades in the space, and the other who's relatively new to his position.
The opportunity for us is, how do we drive traffic, dwell time, productivity in these centers?
That's Jack Shea, the president and CEO for Macerich. Jack calls himself a recovering banker after spending more than 30 years on Wall Street, advising clients with real estate interests all over the world and in a range of asset classes, including malls, hotels, and industrial. He joined Macerich in 2024 to lead a REIT with total assets of more than $8.5 billion.
Whether you're on the property side and you own assets, or if you're a retailer, it's all about being agile and being able to ebb and flow with your customer.
And that's Todd Caruso, CBRE America's Retail Services Lead. Todd started at CBRE in 1983 and is now responsible for growth, management, and leasing of more than 500 million square feet of retail property. A portfolio that includes 17 Macerich assets across the United States. Coming up, Macerich and the state of brick-and-mortar retail in America. I'm Spencer Levy, and that's right now on The Weekly Take. Welcome to The Weekly Take. I'm delighted to be here in Santa Monica, California, with Jack Shea of Macerich, one of the largest retail companies in the United States. Jack, thanks for coming out.
Thank you, Spencer. Good to meet you.
And my old friend Todd Caruso, who's been with CBRE, is it 43 years, Todd?
43 years, that's
43
it,
years, you know, well, one day, you know, you'll have some job stability. Thanks for coming out today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you. And Todd's been at CBRE so long that we were owned by Sears Roebuck back in the day, 43 years ago. We used to be able to get discounts on washing machines.
I did.
When you were, do you still have one of those machines?
I don't. I wish I did have one of those because it wouldn't break.
Oh, well, they had
Kenmore
stuff
washers
back then,
wouldn't
right?
break. That's right.
Jack, tell me how you describe Macerich.
I would describe us as really creating vibrant retail centers, mm-hmm. you know, that bring together our tenants, shoppers, create a lot of value for them as well as our shareholders in the form of driving NOI mm-hmm. and overall appreciation of these properties.
Trying to not use too many industry lingo terms, lifestyle type centers, but that is something that Macerich and other competitors of yours have done to take retail from just a standalone into a truly place that you can live, work, and play.
Exactly. The enclosed, what I call regional mall business, obviously has changed. And when I took this job 2 years ago, didn't really know how to operate a mall. You know, I've obviously been a banker for many years.
Yeah.
So one of the first books I read when I was starting this was a book by Alexandra Lang called Meet Me at the Fountain, which was more of an architectural history of the regional shopping mall, how it came to be. So if you look back in history, after the post-war era, and there was a suburbanization, basically, of America, regional mall literally proliferated.
Yeah.
Mall developers were building these things off the back of Sears, Montgomery Ward, JCPenney's, and they proliferated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to, you know, the global financial crisis, Amazon, COVID. You've had a contraction of anchor tenants, obviously. So today, you know, there's very few compared to 15 years ago. And so it's created a lot of challenges for companies like ourselves having to deal with a million square foot campus. So how do you deal with that? And at the end of the day, look, we want to create the best shopping entertainment environment possible, whether it's indoor or outdoor. How do we do it? In my opinion, we've got to have tenants that provide great product,
mm-hmm.
great service, and have great inventory. Those three things are really critical. And so—
Go back to there. Use those three terms again. Service.
Product.
Product.
Service. Inventory.
Inventory. Okay. So they can actually get what they want right then and there. It's a now thing.
And yeah. to me, like, the opportunity, I would yeah. say, you know, when I started, it was like a challenge. But I think the opportunity for us is that we can't rely on our department stores. In the past, the department store was really the curator of different brands.
The anchor.
The anchors. They're really important. They're still vital. But in a way, like, we're incubating the best ideas into full-scale stores on the inline.
I will tell you that when I was starting out in this business, it was really a set-it-and-forget-it business. It was more of a bond-like business. You put together a great tenant and hope for the best. I'm not saying it was quite that hands-off, but it was a lot more hands-off. Would you say that is the single biggest material change since you've come here?
It's operations. Like, to me, like, operations means creating a clean, safe environment. Everyone has to have that. To me, where we can add value and differentiation, merchandising makes. Understanding our trade area, understanding our competition, understanding where the puck is going, basically, as it relates to merchandise mix. Because at the end of the day, going back to the Alexandra Lang book, I remember going to malls.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do in a mall? You went to the food court, you got some food, you got Orange Julius. There were, you know, electronic games at the time. There was a movie theater. Yeah, that's what you did. You kind of walked around. That's where people went when I was younger. Well, fast forward, like, the opportunity for us is, how do we drive traffic, dwell time, productivity in these centers? I was reading Green Street Advisors, who really is a great analytical company. They said there's 1,000 enclosed regional malls in the United States today.
Mm-hmm.
250 are in the Class A segment, so that's A- to A++.
And that used to be by sales per square foot. When I got into this business years ago, it was like, if you got to $500 a foot, you were class A.
It's huge.
Now it's like 800 to 1,000.
Yeah, I think they look at sales per square foot. They have a TAP score that looks at trade area demographics, income, household population, and they come up with an aggregate score. Obviously, closer to 100 is best. But I think for us, the interesting part is, if there truly are 250 enclosed class A shopping centers, you really can't afford to replicate them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to play on the comment that you guys were making on operations, right? So operational agility equals profitability today. Whether you're on the property side and you own assets, or if you're a retailer, really, it's all about being agile and being able to ebb and flow with your customer. We've got the opportunity to get involved in consumer marketing initiatives on behalf of our owners. We put together campaigns to increased dwell time in open areas within the mall or outside in the parking lots of open air centers, as an example. There's corporate sponsorship opportunities to bring in sponsors who may want to sponsor a valet stand outside one of the high-end restaurants that exists on the exterior of the mall. So a lot of different ways.
And this term dwell time is a fancy way of saying what we're saying in office. What we say in office is the number one amenity in office is other people. And other people doesn't just mean your employees. It means everybody. It means what does get people there. You agree with that, Jack?
No, I agree. You know, you're trying to create day and night campuses for our real estate, whether it's office, residential, gyms, you know, Lifetime Fitness, restaurants, you know, that can just be the center of gravity, basically.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed when I hang out with my office landlord friends is they're getting into retail a little bit. And the reason why they're getting into it is because they know retail is so important to get the people in the office. And so my question is, Jack, is that you have so much real estate, most of it's retail, but you have this office, you have this multifamily. How do you try to make them work together?
When I joined the company 2 years ago, the prior leadership team had gone through quite an extensive exercise of entitling a lot of the adjacent square footage that we had outside of the mall.
Mm-hmm.
So former department stores, particular parcels around the centers. And before I joined the company, and actually while the board was recruiting me, the whole thesis was densification. They kept talking about, this is an opportunity of densification. And I said, oh, okay, that's kind of an interesting strategy. But kind of looking at Macerich's balance sheet, guys, you're like over 9x levered debt to EBITDA. Like, that's not congruent really to me. And shareholders want earnings. They want earnings growth. So if you guys want to hire me, are you open to possibly a different strategy? And they're kind of nodding their head. The answer is yes. Okay, great. So when I started 2 years ago, one of the first things we decided is, what is our true North Star at this company?
Mm-hmm.
And the true North Star is, we want to create thriving retail centers. And I say retail centers. They could be open air, super, you know, enclosed, obviously, because we own both. what does thriving mean? Thriving means dwell time, increased traffic, increased productivity, elevation, quality of merchant.
Okay.
So brand.
Quality
so,
of brand.
So here would be a couple of them. And not to, I'm not trying to disparage. We have a lot of great brands. Aritzia, Aloe, Lulu, Fiori, you know, Elevation. Elevation product type. New brands like Addicted. That's a Gen Z brand, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later. Yep. But our opportunity was, how do I elevate? Elevate the opportunity. Because if I'm elevating with better brands, I'm going to be able to drive more sales per square foot, mm-hmm. more traffic, and in the end, more rent for us as the landlord.
How do the two work together? Because you might have the top tier tenants. You might have tenants that are food courts or tenants that do other things. But you got to treat them all in the optimal way. Tell us about that.
Sure. It goes back to ensuring that you've got full integration within the asset in that enclosed mall.
Yeah.
And perhaps you look at districting, right? So you've got your luxury tenants on a certain wing. I think that's the case in Scottsdale Fashion, as an example, and your asset out there. You've got some of the aspirational brands, which were the five or six that you just referenced a minute ago, and they tend to be together. Some of the food and beverage retailers tend to be together. So there's opportunities.
It's like neighborhoods.
There's neighborhoods. And there's probably some areas where you want to intermix as well. But it's I think there's a strategy behind it from a merchandising perspective. One of the most exciting things also I think that's happening, particularly in a lot of the assets that you control, is that retailers to some degree have become agnostic. So open-air retailers that were traditionally expanding only in community and neighborhood shopping centers, they're now looking at regional malls from an expansion standpoint. You have groups like Target and Ulta, and Trader Joe's is locating on the periphery of these malls. That wasn't the case, 5 and 10 years ago. So that's an exciting thing. It's the infusion of some of these retailers that traditionally never were in malls that are there today.
Right. I agree 100%. And going back to what elevation and all this sort of means, but so when I started here, I came in with no preconceived idea as to what this company should or shouldn't be doing. And basically ask questions. I call it my six questions. If you want to get to truth, you ask six times, six different ways to kind of get to the bottom line. And, my first 30 days, 90 days on the job, I tried to talk to as many people. And I probably walked 90% of our properties, like within the first 60 days, with leasing teams, asset management teams, general manager, kept walking around trying to understand what our assets are all about, what's the competition doing, to try to understand, like, what should we do? Got to try to figure this thing out. And I'm looking at our stock price. We're about to celebrate our 30th year anniversary on the New York Stock Exchange as a listed company. Our stock price is pretty much same as 30 years ago. So that's not great. So using that as a backdrop, I'm all about creating shareholder value, growth, make the business better. So I think I quickly came to the conclusion that if I'm going to create thriving retail centers, the answer may not be densification. Why? If you go to Tyson's Corner, we own the Hyatt. It's a beautiful hotel. We built the Vita Complex, which is high-rise residential, some of the best in that area. We've got great office towers. We've got great retail. That takes a stinking long time to do. Years, like years of build out, years of entitlement, and we don't have the balance sheet to be able to do that. So that's not really a viable strategy for me to create vibrant centers. And I also noticed that when I was walking this real estate, this portfolio, we had wings in centers that had dark anchors like Sears, Dark Lord & Taylor, Dark Nordstrom stores. I'm like, hey, what's the strategy with this? Oh, well, we've got densification. We could do this, that, and the other thing. We could do office here. We could do resi here. And I'm like, there's no vibrancy until we get our inline fully leased from a physical, permanent occupancy standpoint. So I'm asking the question, like, what's our physical permanent occupancy right now? It's 2 years ago. 83%. Not good enough. There's no vibrancy if you're 83%. There's no price tension. That means wings are filled with like vacant temporary tenants. So first order business, let's attack the anchors. So today we have 30 committed, some are open already.
What is your occupancy today, if you don't mind me asking?
Our physical permanent occupancy is still around 83%, and the strategy with our path forward, which I'll talk about in a second, will get us to about 89% to 90%, which is where you want to be in this kind of business.
You don't want to be 100%, by the way, because actually you say, 100% sounds perfect, but actually you need a little bit of vacancy to keep that tension.
Well, and not just tension, but you're constantly moving. Yeah. This is all like a three-dimensional Rubik's Cube. Mm-hmm. Aritzia wants to build a new flagship store, or they want to move to X, Y, and Z. Then I've got to displace maybe another tenant that's in place there, put them in a different position to build them a new store. So you're constantly moving tenants on a floor plan. That is a competitive advantage, in my opinion, because when I have 400 to 600,000 square feet of fully occupied inline, you know, I have the ability to move tenants in different parts of our football field. You know?
And I want people to that point to sink in there for a second, because if you're in other forms of real estate, good luck moving your tenant. But in retail, sometimes you have that right within your leases. Is that as of right in most of your leases?
Well, like a renewal may come up, or they want a different store. They have different needs. They
may not be as of right. Maybe just be circumstantial. Let me dig in there for a second. Because what Jack is saying is, we want not just the best tenant mix, and you know, we can talk about credit and all the fancy metrics that people use to value stuff. But we want the best tenant mix that creates dwell time. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, dwell time is something that location intelligence has educated a lot of us on, right? So cell phone data, mass mobile data is something that we've been a huge fan of and have invested in significantly over the last 7 years within our organization. So when you think about being able to look at a cell phone ping and track that individual and track specific dwell time, you can actually analyze zones within an enclosed mall that need some assistance, right? Because not only is the traffic down there, but the dwell time in a specific part of the asset is less than what it might be in another area, another quadrant of the property. So that goes back to merchandising, right? Looking at that particular wing, and maybe you've got an underproducing department store, and you're thinking about alternate uses. Maybe that's an opportunity to break that space up, infuse some entertainment. We've seen a lot of entertainment uses now coming into the enclosed mall space. We've seen a lot of food-related groups. Those are the things that have increased dwell time. So right down the road here, we have an individual that does a lot of work for Dave & Buster's, right? Someone that goes to a mall and spends time at Dave & Buster's, they're going to be there for a while, and they're probably going to cross shop after they leave that experience at Dave & Buster's.
Well, I'm a big Dave & Buster's fan because I think it's got something for everybody there, right? Like, so you go to some of these places, it's just video games, just a restaurant bar. They got them both.
That's right.
Really solid concept. And so, Jack, I want to go back to two ends of the spectrum here. If something isn't working, how do you make the decision to demall it or open it up? Open it up is probably a better way to put it.
I haven't opened one up yet in my tenure, but I would say, like, early in my tenure, I was able to luckily spend time with Ed Stack. Ed is the chairman of Dick's Sporting Goods. Mm-hmm. And I went to go visit Ed in his office in Pittsburgh, and he happened to take us on a tour of his new Dick's House of Sport at Ross Park Mall, which is owned by Simon. And I had the opportunity to walk with him, talk with him about this store, and then on a subsequent trip to Ross Park, actually walked through Nordstrom's, as he was pointing out from a merchant standpoint, sight lines, merchandise, product, technology, bringing in the local flavor into these stores, beta testing different retailers, showcasing different brand types within his template, batting cages, golf ranges, the field, the ability to have like inventory control on shoes. Never saw anything like that. It was unbelievable. And I left that saying, okay, that's what I want in our centers, more like him. You know, really understanding merchandising, customers. And Ed would tell me, like, hey, Jack, this is like a really simple business. Because I was like blown away. And he's a very good friend now, Ed. It's like, you know, I'm only 2 years into this thing. He said, Jack, it's a really simple business. You know, my business is all about buying stuff at one price and just being able to sell it at a higher price and just make sure I don't get stuck with the stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of simple. You're right. But the execution of that, he is super impressive. One of the best retailers I've met, certainly.
The way you've described it, he's not just detail-oriented, but the details are actually, when you boil them down, they're simple details. Sight lines, product mix.
Service. Inventory, yeah. And so like we built our path forward around that. So we have like 9 committed Dick's stores in various House of Sports in various different levels, which to me would be my first choice in a center that you're trying to reorganize or transform. And those stores, they're rolling out these Dick's House of Sports. If you hadn't seen them, they're really worth seeing. We just opened our first at Freehold Mall in Freehold, New Jersey, and it's gone gangbusters since it opened. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to the leasing momentum in that wing has really started to gain momentum, and we'll continue to elevate that center as we move forward, and it attracts other tenants. So this is all about other retailers following retailers into a collection point, hopefully in your center. Retailers know that great physical stores support their omnichannel strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, they get a bump up 20-25% in online sales with a good physical location. It's a really different environment, though, to lease. They want the best centers. They want the best locations within the real estate. They're not carpet bombing trade areas. You know, I guess 15 years ago, if X, Y, and Z tenant was coming into a market, they would put 8 to 10 stores in, proliferate the trade area. And in some ways, cannibalize the trade area as well. Today, like, physical stores are really important for Aritzia, really important for American Eagle, Gap, supports their omnichannel. They just want great real estate, good locations, and actually really good landlords that are partners with them. They get the joke, basically.
Todd, you've heard the story, and we're privileged to have the leasing opportunity at 17 of these properties, but we're not just trying to put in the biggest name tenant. We're not just trying to put the tenant that's going to pay the highest rent. How do we choose the tenants that fits the Mesa Rich story?
Again, I think it gets back to understanding from your asset management team what the overall merchandise strategy is. So they've been extremely articulate to our team, and we do everything possible to convey that to the individuals that are on the ground working on the assets themselves. And if it's a mix that needs to be enhanced with some of the aspirational brands that you've just referenced earlier, then we're out trying to identify either groups that we have relationships in those local markets or where we might be expanding those brands nationally, right? We may be on point from a tenant rep, a retailer, occupier representative perspective, assisting those groups and helping them with their strategies. That's an opportunity for us to plant a seed and say, hey, you know, Mace Rich has a highly productive stock of assets throughout the United States, right? There's no egos there. They understand what it means to have a relationship with their individual retailers. Would you consider this location?
And maybe just for your listeners, we have internal leasing team. We have an outstanding leasing team. Why bring CBRE in alongside to work in partnership with us? Well, this path forward, going back 2 years ago, one of the first things we did was withdraw our earnings guidance. Why? I've got to do this really quickly. I've got to basically stabilize, our vacancy, basically our permit, our temporary vacancy, our underperforming tenants, our 30, our vacant department stores. So that means basically getting transactions done very quickly on the anchor side. So we've got 30 committed, but also 1,000 tenants on the inlet. 1,000 tenants may not seem like, what does that number mean? Well, for Mace Rich, it means almost 25% of our entire portfolio of spaces, 25%. So if you think about that, that's an unprecedented amount of leasing that had to be done basically in 18 months, mm-hmm. right? So we're into it right now. And we can talk about a little bit later on the speedometer, but we're effectively, right now about 76% complete as we think about our completion rate. And we're striving to get to 85% by mid-year and substantially complete by year end. when I talk to our leasing teams, and look, we modeled every single space out in our portfolio to go forward. What's the right tenant mix? What's the right rent per square foot? It's all built into Argus. And I said, like, I want to have insurance policy. That's why we called you guys. We're leasing unprecedented amount of space, and we have to do it on time and at market rents that we've assumed in our model. And thankfully, we've exceeded it. You know, we just did our fourth quarter earnings call, and, you know, we signed 7.1 million square feet. You know, that's an unprecedented amount of space. Yeah, it's an 86% increase over the prior year. So it's just a huge volume of deals. And so if you were at Macerich just peeking around, it's all about leasing, and now it's all about getting those spaces built and open on time. Because
execution,
we're execution. And so it's been exciting, and the whole company's been on board with it. And if we get these 1,000 spaces done, what that generates is that $140 million of incremental revenue over our 2024 within those 1,000 spaces. So if you think about that, about 80% of that flows into NOI. So that's super productive incremental earnings NOI that we need as part of our deleveraging plan.
10 years ago, retail was a tough place to be because of the internet. We're done. Nobody's going to shop again. I think we've just flipped the script here. I think it's now technology is going to be the savior of retail. It's going to make it even better.
On the technology side, we haven't talked about Gen Z, but we have to because it's really important. So that's the age group that today is 14 to 29 years old. Nielsen, you know, basically has projected that the global retail spending of that group in 2030 will be $12 trillion. It's a really formidable demographic for us. And what's really critical about that group is they love to go to physical stores.
Yeah.
They're the most prolific of the demographic groups that like to actually go to the mall. So there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about this group going back into the retail centers. It's all about TikTok. It's all about Instagram. It's all about basically the brands trying to acquire this cohort and engage with them. It's a remarkable phenomenon right now. You know, we're opening hopefully a new store for Cider in one of our centers. Cider didn't have physical stores. The one they're opening now is at Rick Caruso's project at the Grove. And it's basically an online TikTok-oriented fashion female brand company, right? So they originate this product from China, ship it over 2 to 4 weeks, then now they can have physical stores. But I was with one of their founders, and she was showing me a map, and I said, here's the center we're talking about. Well, let me look at our data. So she put it up on the screen. I was shocked, like the amount of TikTok customers that they engage with around this particular center we were talking about. And they have that pretty much all over the country. And I'm sure all over the world for wherever their customers are. But it's such an important age group. And if you look at retailers like Tapestry, Coach and Kate Spade, what they've done to try to meet that customer base with the Tabby bag, or, you know, the Lululabubus with PacSun, you know, or look at what Ralph Lauren's doing, what Gap's trying to do in terms of meeting that customer base. Because if you ask me, like, that's the big tailwind behind what we do if we get it right. I formed a Gen Z committee here at, you know, recently. And we've picked them a kind of a cross-section within Macerich to come together, talk to our tenants, work with some of the universities. I really want to understand what this customer wants from the physical environment, what they want from tenancy. And so we can kind of redefine what it is and meet them there. Right? Because I think it's really important.
I completely agree, though I do have to give a shout out to Gen Xers too, because I'm one of them. And when I go to a store, the way I shop is actually a very efficient way of shopping. I know what I want. I go in, buy it, and leave. So I think there's what I'm saying here is I'm not disagreeing with you at all about Gen Zers being the driving force. What I'm saying is that different people shop differently, and you just got to find the optimal way to meet them. Is that a good way to put it, Todd?
It is. And it's almost the reverse. I mean, being a baby boomer, I would have thought, was different. I would think that the Gen Z would be the ones that would be all about online, right? Mm-hmm. And now we recognize that
they like physical.
Too much time in front of the computer. I mean, they want to get out. They want to interact.
Yeah, we opened the store at an Addicted store. This very, very popular Gen Z brand right now. We opened them at Tyson's. And the lines that I saw, some of the videos of kids, you know, shoppers going in, and basically video themselves going into the store. It was amazing. And so we were obviously trying to expand them in other centers. But, you know, it's an important group, and I think we've got to be smart about where to put them, look at the lease structures. Some of these brands don't even have stores yet. So how do we figure out how to get them into a location, pop up, like, in a good location where they could, like, come in for 6 months and see, you know, it's good for us, good for them.
Dwell time, operational agility, productivity, thriving. I wrote all these words down, man.
Product, service, inventory. That's Bam. What it's all about. Boom.
Product, service, inventory. Well, that's how we started the show, and that's how we're ending it. On behalf of the Weekly Take, what a privilege. Jack Shea, the president and CEO of Macerich, one of the great retail companies in America. Jack, congratulations on all the things you've done in the 18 months on the job.
Yeah, well, look, I can't do it by myself, so I got to thank all of our Macerich colleagues that are all over the country pushing on the strategy. So.
And our head of retail investor leasing, Todd Caruso.
Thank you, Spencer.
If you enjoyed that trip to the mall, we've recently featured other shows to complement those retail insights with looks across the lifestyle and hospitality landscape. Specifically, I'm thinking about our recent conversation about food halls and another about retail development and the capital markets. Just click over to our archive at cbre.com/theweeklytake or check out your preferred platform. We'll be back next week to bring you more from across the commercial real estate spectrum, including some special episodes coming up this spring. So stay tuned and subscribe if you want to learn more. Thanks for joining us. I'm Spencer Levy. Be smart, be safe, be well.